Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship Monday Night Men and Women's Bible Study. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join Sister Snooky Rico now as she begins her message.
Father, we just come before you, Lord God. Father, we are your daughters, daughters of the Most High, Lord God. Father, and we desire to know you more this night, Lord God. Father, we are in need. We are in desperate need, Lord God, of your Holy Spirit to fill us up, Lord God, that we be able to walk in victory each and every day, Lord. Father, we pray that you would help us to die to ourselves, Lord God, and that your Spirit would manifest good fruit, good lasting fruit out of our lives, Lord God. So, Lord, take us into your word and have your way with us, your daughters, this evening. And, Lord, let every word that proceeds from my mouth, Lord God, let it be your word, Lord God, that I would decrease, Lord, and that you would increase for your glory, for your honor, and, Lord God, for your good pleasure, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I just had a question, because, you know, the name of the book is that we're doing with the study that we're doing. It's really awesome. Walk in the Spirit. I want a show of hands. How many people know what that means? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Just like, what does it mean to walk in? What does that mean? Walk in the Spirit. How many knows what it means? Walk in the flesh. Okay, you know what walk in the flesh means, right? And then you know what walk in the Spirit is. Okay. Because I know when I first became a believer, I didn't know what that meant. You know, it was confusing because how do you do that in one body? You're either one thing or you're the other. But in Christ Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, we have the ability to walk in the Spirit. So as Christ walked, because he now lives in us through the Holy Spirit, we can do the very things that Jesus did. And it's only through the Spirit. And it's a dying to self constantly, a dying to our flesh, a dying to our own desires, a dying to the old man. So that's part of the whole new born-again experience that we will experience even as we gain more understanding of the walk in the Spirit. So anyway, I wanted to just, we're going to go through the first five verses of this study. That's what we did for our chapter one. And this was called The Authority of Our Call. And I thought this was really pretty radical because it concerns Saul, who was once Saul, now is Paul. So if we open up to Galatians 1. And it says, Paul, this is verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not from man nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So Paul right there is making a statement that he is an apostle, not because of men. It wasn't men that witnessed to him and shared Jesus to him. It was Jesus Christ himself. And he's seen and experienced the risen Lord. So if you'll get your little pamphlets, the little things that, so I wanted, because this is, it really is such a, this is Paul. He is the writer of the book that we're reading right now. He's the one who wrote the book of Galatians. So we're going to see, I know that in a lot of studies that we've gone through, we've kind of touched him. We've kind of gone over his conversion through the road to Damascus. But again, I just wanted to reiterate it again so that we will know without a shadow of a doubt, he had the ability to say these words, not from man nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. So Saul of Tarsus, he was a Pharisee in Jerusalem after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul swore to wipe out the Christian church called the Way. They used to be called the Way. They used to gather in homes, in back alleys, wherever they could gather, they called themselves the Way. He got letters from the high priest authorizing to arrest any followers of Jesus in the city of Damascus. On the road, on the Damascus road, Saul and his companions were struck down by a blinding light, brighter than the noonday sun. And Saul heard a voice say to him, and this is in Acts 9:4, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" When Saul heard who was speaking to him, he replied to the voice, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The man with Saul heard the sound, but they did not see the vision of the risen Christ that Saul did. Saul was blinded. They led him by the hand into Damascus to a man named Judas on the straight street. For 3 days, Saul was blind and did not eat, drink, anything. Meanwhile, Jesus appeared in a vision to a disciple in Damascus named Ananias and told him to go to Saul. So I just want to go back again to that experience. Here's Saul. He was actually a persecutor of the church. Before he was a believer, before he seen the risen Lord, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees who was on a vent to destroy the church, to destroy the way. And he would take them bound and chained. And he also, we first hear of Saul when he was there at Stephen's martyrdom, when Stephen was killed. He witnessed it. When Stephen was the first martyr that was of the disciples that was killed, Saul was there. He witnessed it and approved it. So this is how radical God is that he could take somebody that would be a killer of a vision, a killer of something good that God wanted to do, and how this Satan was just using Saul in a mighty way. God wanted to do a work in Saul. He wanted to redeem Saul. Saul was going to be one of his chosen. So that really, this is the heart of the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter where we came from. It doesn't matter what we've done in our past. It doesn't matter what, even how we might have persecuted the church. I know that there was people who used to share Jesus with me in my BC years. And you know what? I would cut them off, you know. You'd say, oh yeah, you know. I'll think about that when I'm old and gray, because right now I'm going to get my party on. I'll see you in about 50 years. You know, who knows? We could be gone tomorrow, you know? And so it really, I really persecuted, because I even fired my nail tech when I had a salon. My first salon, I had a nail tech who was sharing Jesus all the time. She was one of them Pentecostals. You know, she was rolling, man. She would be back there on her table just sharing Jesus all the time. And me and my cousin Nani, we was like always hearing her and getting offended at some of the things she said. And we gave her warning, you got to stop doing that. You can't mix religion and work together, nor politics. None of those things. You can't talk about none of those things because you offend people. She says, well, you might as well just kill me now. You know, she said, but that's all I can do. And I said, well, that's your first warning. So she kept doing it. She just would not stop. Her name was Sandra Ardia, and I'll never forget her. But she kept doing it. And probably about the Nani comes, we had a meeting, and Nani said, I can't stand it no more. I can't stand it anymore. I said, you're right. It's time for her to go. So I said, you know what? We've given you a warning, and it's time we need to let you go, because, you know, you just are causing too much havoc, and you just talk about Jesus too much, and people want to come in here, and they just want to relax. They don't want to, you know, we just don't want to have all that, you know, that whatever stuff you're doing. We don't want it no more, because we used to drink constantly in the shop. We had alcohol there constantly. I mean, this is in my BC days. I know you guys don't know. Our clients would go stay there all day long and wouldn't leave, because we'd be feeding them alcohol all day long. So anyway, she definitely found, she definitely was a light in the midst of darkness. Anyway, so we cut her loose. And I felt so convicted because she wrote me one of the most beautiful letters as she was leaving. And she said that she'd been there with us there with a year, and that she knew that God had a purpose and a plan for her being there. And that whenever I needed Jesus in my life, to just cry out to him. I didn't have to be in a church. I didn't have to. She says, I know God is calling you, and you just cry out to the Lord. And rather than, you know, venting ugliness. She just vented love, okay? Just the love of God. And I felt that letter just go like piercing to my heart, but I didn't call her back, right? So the trouble was gone, right? Yeah, she was walking in the spirit, definitely. And so anyway, but this is how I persecuted her, right? So we cut her loose. And probably about, I'd say 2 months later, I got in a horrific car accident with my daughter, who's now 28 years old, Raquel. She was 6 months at the time. And it was a head-on. I kind of had a Saul experience. That's why I'm sure I just testified. I wasn't planning on doing it. But, you know, I know that we all have our different experiences when we come to the Lord. Some are pretty radical, and some are, you know, coming up to the altar is a radical experience. But for me, I was kicking the goats, you know, and persecuting his church. So the Lord had to take me to that place of brokenness. And I met it head on an oak tree with my car wrapped up and my 6-month-old baby trapped in the back of the car. And so we had to be, you know, what is that machine? Yes, we had to get all that out. And it's been about 28 years ago, because she's going to be 29. And so anyway, I remember when I came to, she still wasn't, we were both in the ambulance, and she was not conscious. And I couldn't move, couldn't do nothing. I was stuck to my head, you know, because when you have injuries, you might have head injuries. I was stuck to the gurney from head to all the way to my toes. And she finally came to, and I couldn't look at her because she had the same thing. And all I could do, literally, was open my eyes and look up. I could do nothing for my baby, could do nothing. And believe you me, I remembered everything Sandra said in that letter. I remember what she said. And then I was shaking because I was probably going into shock. They kept trying to put warm things on me, and I was shaking uncontrollably. And I just cried out to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I ask forgiveness. I said, God, I need you. If you're the God that Sandra says you are, I need you now. I ask your forgiveness. I ask that you save my baby's life, and I'll live every day of my life for you. Give me a second chance, oh God. And you know what? God did. You know what? Right when I said that, there was like a light, that I really saw a light in that ambulance. In that ambulance on the way to Kaiser, I saw that light. And it came on me, and then all of a sudden my whole body just got really warm. Just this warmth came on me. Like I can't even explain it, but it was the peace of God, and I believe the Holy Spirit. And, you know, everything was okay. We were in the hospital for a couple of days, but my daughter, she was fine, you know. But I seen the grace of God. We totaled the car. The car was totally wrapped around a tree. My face was like just this far from that tree. And this was 28 years ago, before the seatbelt law was happening. And you know, I didn't normally wear a seatbelt, but I had a seatbelt on, and most of my injuries were from the seatbelt. Had I not had that on, I would have probably flew into that tree. But anyway, God is good. He does, even those of us that have persecuted the believers, you know, because of our ignorance or whatever it is. But Saul was one of those types of men. He took it to the next level. He thought he was zealous for the things of God in the opposite direction, because it was legalism and based on religiosity. But let's go ahead and read on. But God is good. And I did call Sandra and asked her forgiveness. We were reconciled. She came back to work, and she's still a strong believer in Christ. And you know what's so funny? Because sometimes God has a sense of humor. The very thing that I fired her for is the very thing I do now. I do hair. I do the same thing that, you know, so you never know. Okay, so then the man with Saul heard the sound, but they didn't see the vision of the risen Christ that Saul did. Saul was blinded. They led him by the hand into Damascus to a man named Judas on Straight Street. In 3 days, Saul was blind, did not eat or drink anything. Meanwhile, Jesus had given a vision to a disciple in Damascus named Ananias and told him to go to Saul. Ananias was afraid because he knew of Saul's reputation as a merciless persecutor of the church. Jesus repeated his command, explaining that Saul was his chosen instrument to deliver the gospel to the Gentiles, their kings, and the people of Israel. So Ananias found Saul in Judas's house praying for help. Ananias lays hands on Saul, telling him Jesus has sent him to restore his sight and that Saul might be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He arose and was baptized in the Christian faith. Saul ate, regained his strength, and stayed with in Damascus disciples for 3 days. So I love that fact. Look at that back there. It says that Saul was a chosen instrument to deliver the gospel. And do you know that as believers in Christ, we women, we are chosen? The Word of God says that we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. You know that if you ever battled with low self-esteem or issues of where you came from in your background, I mean, God's word says in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That's the whole purpose of this walk, is that we would go and bear fruit. Fruit that remains. And part of that fruit is walking in the Spirit, having the love, the joy, the peace, the self-control, and spiritual fruit, bearing others, sharing Jesus with others. And then I love this other one too. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:25, because, you know, in case we just get too puffed up, because, you know, we are part of a royal priesthood, we're daughters of a king. We're, you know, we can go there too. We can go the opposite direction and get puffed up in who we are. But we always have to remember, ladies, where we come from and who's done it all for us. So in Corinthians 1, 25. 1 Corinthians 1:25. Okay? And it says, this is just to keep us in check, because this is the nature of who our God is and what his grace is all about. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see, your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. So there's not many wise. Not many wise are called. God has chosen the base things of the world to confound the world so that everybody would say, look what God has done. And that's what he's doing for us. And so back in Galatians chapter, but I wanted to again reiterate the fact that the authority of Paul's conversion and the why he could call himself an apostle. And then after his conversion, Saul changed his name to Paul. The conversion of Paul shows that Jesus himself wanted the gospel to go to the Gentiles, and that's us. And that it wasn't no human being's idea. That would quash any argument from the early Jewish Christians that the gospel was only for the Jews. The man with Saul did not see the risen Jesus, but Saul did. So the other man, they didn't see the risen Jesus. They saw the light, but they didn't see the risen Jesus. This was a miraculous message that was meant for one person only. Saul witnessed the risen Christ, which fulfilled the qualification of an apostle. Only those who had seen the risen Christ could testify of his resurrection. Jesus did not distinguish his church and his followers and himself. I love that. Because remember when he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That's how Jesus identifies himself with us. We are in Christ. He is in us. We are one in Christ. He doesn't say, Why are you persecuting my disciples? Why are you persecuting my church? Why are you persecuting me? Because Christ, the living God, is in us. As we are born again believers, the Holy Spirit living within us gives us that identity with Christ. And I love the fact that Jesus right here, he didn't distinguish between the church, his followers, and himself. This is how personal our God is. This is how personal Jesus, this is how he feels. This is his heart towards us. And this serves as a warning to anyone who persecutes Christians or the Christian church. They're persecuting Christ himself. In a moment of fear, enlightenment, and regret, Saul understood that Jesus indeed was the true Messiah, and that Saul had helped him to murder and imprison innocent people. Saul realized that despite his previous beliefs as a Pharisee, he now knew truth about God and was obligated to obey him. And Saul of Tarsus possessed the perfect qualifications of an evangelist for Christ. He was versed in the Jewish culture and language. His upbringing in Tarsus made him familiar with the Greek language and culture as well. His training in Jewish theology helped him connect with the Old Testament of the gospel. And he was a skilled tent maker. He could support himself even by that trade. And then I just really wanted to, again, reiterate the fact that this is who Paul was before, and now who Paul is now, as we're going to be reading this letter, his heart towards the Galatians as they were being manipulated to go into a type of religious theology, thinking that it was not just by the grace of God. And that's why we as women have to be really careful in the Word of God. The simplicity of Christ is just that, so very simple. Everything that we need to have and to breathe and to walk this walk is in the Word of God. Don't ever, ever be open to anybody who say, well, you have to do this also. You're not born again unless you do this too, unless you do that, because then it becomes another gospel. If it's not written in the Word, it needs to be written in the Word. The simplicity of Christ is Christ in us and us living that life fruitfully and bearing fruit in Christ Jesus. Amen? And the next verse, in verse 2, again, Paul was with all the brethren when he was writing this, probably Barnabas, who was also called Son of Encouragement. So the brethren were there with him, and they're greeting them. And then I love this verse 3. It says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Those always come together. Grace is part of God's unmerited favor. As believers in Christ, it's a free gift, our salvation. We didn't have to do anything for it. It's God's grace that's just poured out on us. And the Gentiles used to use that word, that phrase, quite often. And then peace, the Jewish fellowship would always say peace, shalom. They would always address a letter with shalom. So this is both coming together, the Jewish and the Gentiles coming together, grace and peace to God the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's what grace and peace comes from the Father who delighted that the Son would give himself for us. That is the only reason why we can experience grace and peace. Grace and peace comes as we acknowledge Jesus Christ and what he's done for us on the cross. How many of us experience that when we first get born again? That peace, that grace. And that is what's so amazing. And you know, God has so many things that he's given us to walk this walk. You know, as I was looking in the study, you know, he gives us his love. You know that he gives us a measure of faith even. He gives us even gifts. He wants to give us gifts that we be able to use those for his glory, for his honor, for the building up of the kingdom and the edification of the body of Christ. So and I was looking at that and I wanted to read that. And that is in Romans. It says that his love has been shed upon our hearts. That God even gives us a love. You know, a lot of times we have issues walking in the Spirit or living in the Spirit? And I really believe it all comes down to that issue, the love of God in our hearts. Do we really die to ourselves and let the love of God come in our hearts? He says it. He gives it to us. He pours it out on us. And that's grace. God's grace. I know that when I first became born again, I had the ability to love like I never did before. And I had all of a sudden, I understood grace and what it meant. I understood what you could give grace to people, you know, when they're being unloving to you, when they're not being kind to you. You know, you could roll it over on Jesus and not become embittered by it. That's the love of God in our hearts. And we have that, sisters. We have that ability, not in ourselves, but through the Holy Spirit working in us. And as we are obedient to the Lord, as we die to ourselves, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have the ability to walk victorious in this life, in the here and now. And God has so many promises that he wants to fulfill in our lives. You're a chosen. We are chosen people to bear good fruit for God's glory, for his purpose, for his kingdom. It's all about Jesus, ladies. So we always never forget where you come from. Because you know what? We could have had a Saul testimony, you know, and maybe some of you do here. But you know what? That doesn't even matter anymore because you're a new creation in Christ. But the fact that if we keep that in our mind of what we once were, you know what the Word of God says? Those who have been forgiven much love much. So it's the love of God as we abide in the Word of God and as we make Jesus our passion, then that love grows. And that fruit will just be, you're just going to be fruit bearers wherever you go. You're going to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And that's what he desires for us. Amen? Well, thank you. God bless you. So, Father, we do make that our prayer, Lord God. We make that our prayer, Father. We thank you, Father, that your grace is immeasurable, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for blessing us with the love gift, your son, Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you've brought us life and life eternal. And, Lord, you want so much for your daughters. Lord, and I know, Father, that there's many women here who are going through different issues in their lives, Lord. I pray that you meet them, Lord, at their point of need, whatever that need may be, Lord God. Meet them, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you help us, indwell us with your Holy Spirit, that we'd be able to walk this walk in the Spirit that you're calling us to. We want to be women of purpose. Make us, Lord God, warriors for you. Lord, we ask this, my God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. We can go to our groups now.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of His Word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.